You to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. Today we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In fact, we are going to finish Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and then get into chapter 12. So looking forward to this lesson. If you could, let's look together at verses 7 through 10. Truly the light is sweet and pleasant thing it is to the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. They shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Now, when we come to this passage this morning, we can summarize it with this very simple statement. Life is a gift, but not without serious hardships. So face the good and the bad with a balanced eternal perspective. Really, what this section of chapter 11 is all about, it's all about giving us a balance in our perspective. When we're young, how we should look at life. When we're older, how we should look at life. When we're going through a very enjoyable and good season of life, and when we're in a very difficult season of life, this passage is meant to help us to have perspective so that we learn the lessons and enjoy the blessings in every season of life. So first of all, let's look at the first fact that he lays out here. Life is a precious gift. In verse 7 he says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Now, when he talks about the light being sweet, he's actually using it as a metaphor for life. But what he's trying to say is, look, in the morning when you get up, you walk outside, you see the sun rise, you see just that beauty on the horizon. He said that's something that actually gives joy and encourages and blesses people. You know, how many people just enjoy watching the sun rise and all the beauty that is accompanied with the start of a new day? He said that's the way life is. Life is a precious gift. The fact that you're alive means that you have something that's very, very precious, and you shouldn't take it for granted. But then he goes on to say this, the pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Even though life is a precious gift, there are going to be challenges that are associated with it. He's going to talk about that in just a little bit. So he wants us to recognize life is a gift, but life is hard. So the second fact that he gives us is this. Even people who live good lives experience deep sorrows. In verse 8 he says, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Now, the key to understanding the second statement, the second fact, is the words but and if. But if means it's true that life is a precious gift. It's true that life is full of many blessings. But it is also true that a good life is not without some sorrow and pain. In fact, you could have a wonderful life, a tremendous blessing from God. You look over the course of your life and you say, I am so deeply and richly blessed. But that doesn't mean that you don't have some seasons that you look at where you go, man, that was a tough time. That was a dark time. That was a frustrating time. That was a discouraging time. That's a time that I regret. The fact is that even a really good life lived richly is going to have moments like that. And that's what Solomon's trying to help us to see here. He says, let him remember the days of his darkness. They shall be many. In other words, keep a balanced perspective in life. When things are smooth, don't think that's how it's always going to be. When life is bitter, don't forget that there were, in the past, days that were very sweet and very good. And the reality is that what you're experiencing is not new to mankind. Every single one of us is going to go through those seasons of good and those seasons of hardship. I've said this many times, that as a pastor, I not only get to walk through some of the sweetest days with people, I get to visit people in the hospital who are holding their first child in their hands. I get to be there when somebody gets married, and we talk about the joys of marriage for a young couple that's preparing in premarital counseling. I get to be there when people graduate from high school and in college. Some of the highest moments in people's lives when they receive huge awards. I get to see those blessings as a pastor. I get to see people trust Christ as their Savior. I get to see people follow the Lord in believers' baptism. I get to see people grow in the Lord. Deep, rich blessings. At the same time, I also see people's greatest sorrows and tragedies. When somebody's marriage is in big trouble, the pastor is who they're going to talk to. When somebody's beginning to go through a major health crisis, the pastor is there praying for them, walking through that with them. When there's a financial crisis, when people are dealing with a tragedy at a person's funeral, the fact is that what a pastor sees is that life is full of rich and glorious blessings, but life is also full of deep and dark valleys. And the fact is every one of us experiences both of those things. And so what Solomon's trying to say is even people who live good lives experience deep sorrows. When things are good, don't forget, it doesn't stay that way forever. And when things are tragically difficult, realize that this is something that all of us experience. And that even though we're experiencing that, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have lessons that he wants to teach us through that. And it doesn't mean that God's going to abandon us in those moments. In fact, he will walk through those things with us, and he will lift us up and pour his grace into our lives so that we can face those challenges. So he talks about those two facts. The third fact that he's going to emphasize here is that we should live the good days of life to their fullest, but don't live life without a reality of the judgment seat in our minds. So in verse 9 he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." He says, listen, when you're young and when you're strong and you have all of life ahead of you and you're in some of the greatest opportunity days of your life, when you have more opportunity to do things than you'll ever have again. You know, I think about somebody who's in their 20s or somebody who's in their 30s or somebody who's just graduated from high school. You know, many times that's a time when we look at life with tremendous excitement about the future and the potentials that lie on the horizon. He's saying, that's who I'm talking to. He's saying, rejoice in those days. Enjoy the good days. Enjoy playing high school football and baseball and enjoy learning how to play an instrument and enjoy the excitement of making new friends in college and all of the different things that you get to enjoy as a young person. He says, enjoy those things. These are some of the sweetest, richest days of your life. He says, do the things that you want to do. In other words, if you'd like to try, you know, a certain occupation, or you'd like to study something in college, or you want to travel to a certain part of the world and see those places, like, go for it. That's the time to do it. He says, enjoy those opportunities that you have ahead of you. But remember something. As you're enjoying that, and as you're making decisions, make sure that the decisions you make are consistent with God's moral will. In other words, while you enjoy life the way God intended it to be enjoyed. Remember that God's ways are best. When a person throws off God's commands and God's principles and they ignore the fact that there's going to be a day that they stand before God, they will regret the decisions they made in their youth when they had vitality and strength and opportunity. They'll look back and they'll say, it was a tragedy. I wasted those years because of poor decisions. So what Solomon's saying is, take life when you're young and those opportunities and enjoy them to their fullest. But remember, you're going to stand before God someday. And so don't waste the time. Don't use it in a way that's irresponsible, in a way that you're going to regret down the road. So he's kind of putting a balance in how we look at the years of our youth. And then we come to a fourth fact, and this one's extremely important. Don't miss life's opportunities, no matter which side of life you're on. If you're going through sweet days or if you're going through bitter days, if you're enjoying the days of youth or you're dealing with the hardships of the end of life, he said, whatever season of life you're in, don't miss the opportunities that God has for you in that moment. Here's how he puts it in verse 10. Therefore, based on the facts of what I've just shared with you, that when you're young, you have tremendous opportunities, but you're going to stand before God. So make sure that you don't waste or abuse those opportunities. He says, remove sorrow from thine heart, put away evil from thy flesh. Childhood and youth are vanity. Now, when you read this verse, you would think that he's speaking specifically to someone who's young, and only someone who's young. But I think that there's actually an application to both the young and to those who are older or those who are suffering. The primary application is to the young who are in the prime of life. He says, don't miss out on the blessings of today. And he really talks about two ways that young people miss out on the blessings of their youth. He says, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. There are two things that can keep a young person from enjoying the prime of life. The first is immature frustrations in life. You know, it's kind of interesting. When we're young, the things that we think are really big deals and the things that we think are tragic, as we get older, we look back and we go, that wasn't much of anything. We start looking back and we say, man, I got really bent out of shape about something that's pretty common. It's pretty normal. It's something that people deal with all of the time. In fact, it was just an immature frustration. One of the reasons that sometimes people, when they're young and have opportunities, miss those opportunities is because of immature frustration. And so Solomon says, put that out of your mind and put that out of your heart. Recognize you have opportunity. Embrace those opportunities. Enjoy those opportunities. Use those opportunities wisely and to their fullest. And the second thing he says is don't make bad, sinful decisions. He says put away evil from your flesh. Don't make decisions that will give you terrible consequences. Unwise decisions that will burden you down in the prime of life, and they'll ultimately be a ball and chain, a weight that you have to drag around the rest of your life. Don't waste the opportunities when you're young. Don't be frustrated about things that really aren't that big a deal. And don't make bad decisions that are going to cripple you down the road. But then he kind of moves to someone who's not as young. Someone who's not in that season of life where the opportunities are rich and before them, but those opportunities have come and those opportunities have gone, and now they're looking back at life. When those of us are suffering or we're getting to that season of life where the opportunities are not what they used to be, we need to make sure we don't miss out on what God has for us today as well. The truth is that God wants to mature us into the image of His Son. The truth is that God wants us to be reminded that while this world has opportunities, this world is not our final home. While there are many good things to be richly enjoyed in this world is a fallen world. And the greatest blessings are always tainted by the fallenness of humanity and the fallenness of the world that we live in. And so when we get to a season of life where we're suffering, we get through to a season of life where we're looking back at life and going, man, I wish I could go back and redo that or relive that moment. We need to say, hold on a second. There are things that God wants to teach me now. There are areas in my life that God wants to mature me in. I'm still in school. I'm in His school, the school of growing into Christ's likeness, the school of learning about His character and His ways. The school of learning that this world, though it has rich blessings, is also a world that's broken and that has so much suffering and pain. It's not the way that God originally created this world. It's not good alone, but it's good with evil in it as well. And so we can have a perspective that continues to be refocused and sharpened, even when we're past that season of life, that we are now dealing with suffering and hardship and difficulties. And so when we look at the passage in front of us, I think it provides a balance for everybody. If you're listening to this lesson and you're young, please seize the opportunities that are before you. Don't waste your life. Don't throw away opportunities because you make bad decisions or because you get bent out of shape about things that you can't change and really in the big picture are not that big a deal. If you are in a difficult season of life, then please don't miss the opportunities that God has for you as well. They're different, but the reality is growing in a knowledge of God is sweet. Growing in spiritual maturity is really why God leaves us on this earth for the period of time that He does. Helping us to realize that this world is not our final home, and that we should lay hold on eternal life, and that's what we should be living for. And God's eternal kingdom is what is most important. The fact is that those lessons are far sweeter, far richer, far more lofty than the fleeting moments we enjoy when we're young. Let's have a balanced, godly perspective that keeps eternity in our minds as we think about the text before us this day. If this has been a challenge to you today, I hope that you'll share that. Perhaps share it with a friend who needs this encouragement as well. And I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word today. This is a passage that is so richly practical. I pray that you would speak to every heart of every person that has the opportunity to come in contact with this lesson. Father, encourage those who are burdened down today. Those who are carrying heavy loads, who are sorrowing because they're in a very difficult season of life. I pray that you would pour grace and strength into their hearts today, that you would help them to see their circumstances in light of eternity. I pray for those who are young and those who are in the prime of life and those who have so much good ahead of them and so much opportunity. I pray that you'd help them not to waste the opportunities that lie before them, recognizing that this season is short and that God wants them to grow and that they won't enjoy these opportunities forever. Help them to use these wisely for the sake of your kingdom. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to talk to you this morning. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And Lord willing, we'll continue our study tomorrow. Bye now.